All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the one and only Halal Cartels. You know us, you love us. It's Gabe Pacheco
and Samir Nassim.
And what is the deal, Samir Nassim? Happy Memorial Day weekend. How you doing, man?
Good, man. It's like it has been a bit of a weekend. It has been boiling hot in this city, and it's just a peek into what's going to happen this summer in terms of the weather. I think it's going to be a boiler, a scorcher.
Yeah, an inferno.
You know, they're saying that the U.S. power grid is going to fail this summer.
Looking forward to that. We've already had a taste of that multiple times with Texas's deregulated power grid, both going out in the middle of the winter and having a whole bunch of grandparents freeze to death like popsicles, and then also going out in the summertime when it's like 110 degrees outside.
Classic.
So just, you know, that when civilization kind of falls apart, it doesn't go out all at once, all over the, you know, simultaneously everywhere. It's kind of like a creeping rot. Yeah. Almost like gangrene. And so seeing what's happening in Texas right now is kind of like that's just seeing the tip of the toe turn a little black, a little yeah. Little purple.
It's like frostbite.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or like when the zombie bite isn't at a major artery, but just like the zombie just nibbled on an appendage, and you're the guy stuck in the transport trying to hide that little bite. And it's, that's what the U.S. is doing right now.
Sweating profusely when everyone says, did somebody get bit in here? It's like, nope, not at all. Just a festering wound under your sleeve.
Yeah, everything's fine. Look away.
Another thing I loved about Memorial Day weekend was, so when COVID was really peaking out and going crazy, everyone was sanctimonious and self-righteous. And then it's like
you can count me in that.
Sure. And, same.
All people have to do is go back and listen to like Halal Cartels from a year ago, and you'll hear sanctimonious hermit Gabe.
Sure, but what I love about it is there is a reason back then. Now there definitely is a reason as well, because the wave of COVID is just consuming everyone out here, especially people who never got it. But
booming numbers everywhere.
Booming
man.
Numbers everywhere, and it's. Apparent because social media is riddled with the same fucking picture. It's the test on a table, and I got caught up, you know. But I love the people who had their plans ruined for Memorial Day, and they got COVID because they were partying too hard the week before, or whatever it may have been. They let their guard down, and so they got COVID, and now they still do the self-righteous thing. And they're like, don't let your guard down. COVID is still a problem. But it's only because their plans got canceled.
It's also this, everyone's got to put, like, right after they got COVID to omit, to sort of shake off any guilt they might feel. They got to be like, yep, it's positive. But yeah, I'm vaxxed and boosted.
Yes, exactly.
Vaxxed and boosted is the new thoughts and prayers for
it
when
is.
You are infected with COVID.
It really is.
You're like, so, me and my whole family got it. Vaxxed and boosted, though.
Exactly.
So, you know, it doesn't matter when La Santa Muerte comes for us.
Exactly.
She comes for all of us indiscriminately, whether you're vaxxed and boosted or not.
And I don't know now if the variant that's going around now is just a pest, or if the vaccine boosted thing is actually making it hit less.
Sure.
Because there could
making
just
it
be a very
hit
well.
Different. When you're vaxxed and boosted,
it's different.
Hit different dough.
It hit different dough. I got COVID, but I'm vaxxed and boosted, so it hit different dough. So, oh, now I just have a boner 24/7 because the combo hit different. But
yeah, man. But yeah, all sorts of people got it. Animal Collective, they had to shut down some shows because they got, I think it was them. I don't know.
What a blast from the past that you just mentioned.
Sure.
You know, they went to, or I think they may have gone to Hampshire College.
Wow.
They may be Hampshire alum, but I saw them in 2005.
Sure.
And I just wanted to kill myself because I was so high. I ate an edible and I was smoking so much weed before I went to the show.
And it hit different.
It hit different. They came out with gas masks on and did electronic jams for 40 minutes at a time, and I was hiding in a corner.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, because the thing was, is you doubled down. You did. You ingested the THC through different delivery systems.
True.
And you got to stick to one. It's like liquor and beer, you know, only with edibles and blunts.
Yeah, blunts before edibles. Never wanted to go home sooner.
I like how the Europeans do it. All my friends from France and Amsterdam, where they'll roll up a little tobacco with sprinkle it with a little hash or like a little weed, you know, nothing too severe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maintainable. I think we're crazy when we bust out the strictly weed joints.
Yeah. Well, because they're just like used to smoking and then immediately having to get into gridlock bicycle traffic.
Yeah. Can think of nothing worse.
Sure, you got to learn how to just be slender and bob and weave through, you know,
that's my problem.
People on your beach cruiser.
I'll just be bouncing people off my body like the NHL or that ice hockey game on Nintendo from when we were kids.
Love that game. I would always awesome. Pick four. I'd be USSR when I played the hockey, and I would pick four plump Russian dumplings.
Yes.
And they would just be tanks, like
bumping everyone around.
Yeah, yeah.
It was perfect.
This is a deep cut for all of our 45-year-old plus listeners.
Yes.
If you're deeply Gen X and you watch Stranger Things and you go, this show is not accurate because people aren't dropping racial slurs all the time.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people
communicated back then.
Yeah, you'll get our references. Yeah, my Memorial Day was dope. I left the claustrophobic confines, the cultural wasteland of New York City, and I took a New Jersey Transit bus to glorious Edgewood, New Jersey, maybe Edgewater. It's right on the other side of the Hudson River, and
sure.
I went to a 6-story tall spa bathhouse.
Amazing.
Yeah, dude, it was like almost like a Dave and Buster's bathhouse. You know what
nice.
I mean? For adults, Dave and Buster's for adults.
Of course, of course.
That's what I mean. And on the way, right after we popped out of the tunnel, one of the first things I saw was the this like luxury condo community on one side of the street, and a Houlihan's on the other side, and then two statues, one of Aaron Burr. Control alt deleting Alexander Hamilton. So they both had their gats out, like some 1805 gangsters.
That's how they solved problems back then.
Sure. I mean, has anything changed?
I mean, they had to be batshit insane too, because medicine was so trash back then.
Yeah,
they would just pour a little alcohol on your wound and try and dig whatever was in there out. And if not, they're like, you're living with it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, they're like, it's God's plan.
Or until you die.
Yeah, yeah. You're just going to walk with a limp for the next 20 years.
Yeah, and get lead poisoning slowly.
But I think Hamilton, he put his gun in the air and shot it into the sky and was like, you know, trying to be, I guess he was trying to be a gentleman about it, but he forced an error. And Aaron Burr saw an opening and was like, nope. And just
lit him.
Yeah, lit him up.
Wow.
Put a couple musket balls in his rib cage.
But no one made Burr the musical, so I guess Hamilton won this round.
He won. Yeah, by taking a dirt nap first. And whatever, though. I mean, I have no love for either of those dudes. You know, Hamilton was just like a lackey of the banks.
Yeah.
And Burr, while vice president, tried to, behind Jefferson's back as vice president, he tried to take a mercenary army down and invade Mexico. He had plans to invade Mexico and make himself the emperor of Mexico. So that'd be like, dude, that'd be like if Kamala Harris had like her own satellite government right now behind Biden's back and was just trying to invade Cuba.
I wouldn't put it past her, but
and become the empress of Havana.
Yeah, it's an insane proposition. I love how he thought he could do that in silence. It took like 13 years to get to Mexico from DC back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how the fuck was he going to do that without anyone noticing?
Yeah, no problem.
where's Burr?
Just going to take a tour of the West, follow Lewis and Clark's path, you know? once they brought that little baby cub back to the White House, I was just enamored to see what else we could find out there.
Right. Was that a thing that happened? They brought a cub back?
Yeah. Yeah. They loved it.
Was it a mountain lion or something?
They can't. I think it was a bear. I think it was probably not a grizzly. Just like
yeah,
that.
They're like, this thing grew substantially on our way back. It ripped our heads open.
Yeah, it ate all the hounds that we brought with us.
It would fuck everyone up. No one can contain those things.
Yeah, man. So, the United States was like a little wild baby country back then. And yep. The leaders were horny to keep expanding.
Yeah. Manifest destiny.
Exactly.
Couldn't get enough.
So it was wild to see, to sort of take a bus past the scene of the murder. Right. You know, and it was also just absurd that this statue is out there, and it's a statue that's like a snapshot in time showing exactly how savage our founders were.
Right.
And, you know, thinking about gun culture today, that it's always been in our DNA, baked into the country. It's like, can we legislate our problems away? Nah, guns.
Violence.
And then some people have to wake up every day and walk out of their luxury condo, and this is the first thing they see. So...
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think they even pay it any mind.
No, they love it.
Yeah. This is cool. Let's take some selfies with this.
Yeah. So I went there. High recommend for the spa that I went to, which was Sojo. Great place.
Beautiful. I mean, adult bathhouses are usually catering to men looking to jay each other off in tubs and stuff.
That's what I went for.
Well, those are special ones, I think. But culturally speaking, I think the bathhouse was always a place where a boy could be a boy, if you know what I mean.
Every culture's got them.
Yeah.
The Russian bathhouse. I went to the Russian bathhouse in the East Village. Got platzed.
That's they beat you with fig leaves or something?
Yeah. They're not delicious fig leaves. I think they're birch tree branches.
Yeah.
And the Russian dudes, they all wear these like little felt hats that look like they're pointy at the top, like Peter Pan style, or what's the other guy's name? Robin Hood. When he's the fox in the cartoon.
Yeah.
So these felt hats are like pointy in the back, and then they dip them in water. And they put them on their head so that their hair doesn't singe because the air gets so hot.
Holy shit!
So one of these Russian guys, he sits in the hot room in the Russian bathhouse, the room that looks like a kiln, and he's like, "Would you like a platza?" And if you say yes, they put you on like the highest wooden seats because there's like stadium seating almost, and the heat rises, so you're like way too hot, and then in front of everybody else in the room, he proceeds to beat your back with the wet birch tree branches.
Amazing.
Until you almost pass out.
And this releases what? Toxins or something? Or
you know, some superstitious Russian idea. They're like, this will get rid of syphilis. You know, like plot, plot, plot. And tetanus. Did you step on rusty nails? Plot, 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 plotza. You're fine.
This will get rid of Azov Battalion.
We get all of our Russian troops. We beat them with the platza to get them ready, conditioned for fighting Azov.
Man, I got to say, I was on Mango Bay podcast yesterday. Shout out to Mango Bay.
We love them, Pranav and Usama.
Hell yeah. And we talked about the Azov Battalion, and you got to check the episode out. We talked about halal cartels, too. You got to check out Mango Bay. It's hilarious. You're going to love it. And tell them that halal cartel sent you.
Exactly. Yeah. And while you're at it, since we're doing a quick little discreet plug in the middle of this, something that we really appreciate that some of you have done, listeners, we love it when you take a screenshot of your screen on your phone when you're listening to us and post it in IG stories and tag me and Samir, because that we love that. It just we love when you show that you're listening. And it helps us get the word out because we do zero promo.
And somehow we have an amazing audience.
Yeah, we love you all. So
I almost felt like at this point, the way the audience has grown and the way people have really begun to show their love for the podcast, that if we did promo, it would feel alienating. But I will say one thing that's really exciting is we finally have merch coming. I ordered some last week, and it arrives on Friday of this week. And so it's going to be available to our listeners,
our first.
Yeah,
our premium listeners.
That's right.
The inner circle.
Yeah, so it might be available if you sign up for the Patreon. That might be the way. It might be available for people who tag us when they're listening. And then I'll DM some of you folks with, you know, just what's your address, et cetera, and ship this bad boy out to you. Or maybe see you in person at Funhouse Comedy.
Yeah, which is which we're going to directly after this.
Hell yeah.
Funhouse is every Wednesday at Pete's Candy Store. And we're recording this on a Wednesday night. A dark and stormy Wednesday night. I don't know if you can hear the thunder outside the window, but it's ominous out there, folks. Ominous, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's like 30 degrees colder than it was the other day, too.
Sure. So. I got a question for you.
Hell yeah.
I'm loving working from home.
Oh, yeah.
And how are you loving it now that you're working from home with twins?
Yeah, honestly,
how are you making
that,
this happen?
No, it's amazing. It's really difficult at times, but I've become a master of just shutting them out during the workday. My wife is, Amanda's watching them, or we have someone coming to help now. But I will say that it is great to be able to, when I do get to step out to use the bathroom or have lunch, I leave my office and I just see their smiling faces. It's really nice, and it reminds me why I'm even doing it. Also, it's so great to not have to deal with random shitheads at the office that love to talk nonsense. And there's just a whole culture that got erased by this. And part of that culture was the senior level management and middle level management loving to crush people's spirits to their face.
Did you have like sadistic middle managers?
I remember I worked at this one place as a great example. They were a British company, and they were paying me decent. At the time, I thought they were paying me a fortune, but they were hell-bent on getting every cent out of my blood and sweat, and they were the worst people. Pretty much everyone was British, and they'd be like, Samir! I hated how they said my name. They would hover behind me at my desk and just bark commands at me. And then if I tried to use the bathroom, I would hear through the door, "Where's Samir?" in the office. So I hated that job so much, and they were such jackals of people, and I particularly hate the British on the whole, but
sure.
Not everyone, you know. There's some okay ones, I guess. But
yeah.
I just genuinely hate them, and they lived up to everything I hated about British people. And specifically, I remember when I left, I told them, you guys are horrible people, and I wished just the worst on them.
They were a couple, too, right?
Yeah, they were, actually. It was the woman who ran the place and her husband, mm-hmm. and the guy was a waspy blue blood British guy who came from a really wealthy family that had polo horses, that kind of family.
Yeah.
And the woman was a serial entrepreneur, if you will, who honestly fancied herself as the smartest person in any room and had serious anger problems. I remember she wrote an email to this 200 plus person organization that was in England and the United States with just a girl's name in the subject line that I worked with. And it was because that girl had her purse stolen with like her phone and her ID and stuff. And so she wasn't able to get on a plane to go to a meeting to meet with a client. And the lady had no empathy for her and was like, "Brittany is garbage. She has not shown up for her meeting." And I was like, this is the most psychotic bullying I've ever seen from anyone who claims to be a legitimate person. But let me tell you something. Karma is, you know, steps in and does everyone a favor. I guess this woman was pretty humbled because she got a near terminal illness very shortly after I left the company.
Wow. Which,
you know, I'm petty and a mean guy, but honestly, if anyone deserves a terminal illness, it's this lady. And then she somehow kicked it. So, okay, cool. Maybe it puts things in perspective. But she tried to add me recently on LinkedIn and reach out to me. I just wanted to be like, why did you survive cancer? Oh. You know, but I didn't say it.
Sure.
Anyways, she survived, and you know, maybe she learned a lesson. But going back to it, I never dreamed of the opportunity of working remotely back then. And then working remotely changed the game for me. Like, I get more done.
You can go to the bathroom whenever you want.
Right.
And there's no, like, weird disembodied British voice.
Yeah.
Where's Samir?
Yeah. And then the other thing about it is efficiency, right? So people in the office pander and they posture. So they'll go like, sure, sure, boss, huh? Or they'll literally posture that they're working hard at all times. And so people will finish their work at 4:30 or 5 or whatever time it is. But then there's a culture in the advertising world of stay in the office and be the last one to optically look like you're the hardest working person in the room, but you're not doing anything. You're just full of shit. You're sitting there frozen like North Korean people on computers, you know, when Vice went to go visit North Korea.
Uh-huh.
And they were on a fake web page just moving their mouse around in circles.
Yeah.
And that's what people do, and it makes me sick. And then there's just a whole toxic culture of cheeseball white dudes being like, working hard or hardly working, you know what I mean? And people coming to your desk and distracting you, wasting your time. All the posturing shit makes me sick. And it's like, I work way more efficiently. I get way more done. The satisfaction is way higher in my work. And I just don't have corny people interrupting me with nonsensical shit. I mean, there is Slack, which is nonsensical interruption land. But I can just be like, no, I'm not responding to you. You're not in my face, 3 feet away from me.
Sure. Have you heard of cargo cults? As a concept?
No.
Okay, so like in, I think it was after World War II, but there would be military from, it could be, at least I know allies. So let's say British or American military would land on islands that were populated by kind of pre-industrial cultures. And so like all of their cargo would be left behind. So military suits, maybe some weapons that don't work anymore, planes that don't work. But the people who live there didn't have the cultural context to make sense of these objects. They just had what they'd observed other, like the military do. So they saw military people marching and they were like, oh, cool. I mean, I guess that... And then things would land from the sky, like parachutes with, like, you know, cans of Spam. So, you know, they'd make connections like, okay, if we march wearing these weird religious garbs, like military uniforms, and we carry these staffs that make thunder noises, boomsticks, things will land from the sky. So once the military left and they left behind all their stuff, these cults started forming around the objects that had been imbued with like a sacred meaning, right? That was absurd. An absurd meaning, right? Because, well, it just didn't make sense in like our context.
Right.
Or the modern context that we live in now. So it just was thinking about like people doing busy work.
Yeah.
At work is kind of like little children playing house.
Yes.
Because like they don't, and or like, in North Korea, like making websites when you don't really have the internet.
Yeah.
But like, we're all in cargo cults. Like, most of our jobs are bullshit jobs. Everything we do, like, most of our busy work is fake.
It is.
Even when I devote 4 or 5 hours a day to posting stuff on Instagram, like videos and things, like, oh, this is just like a fake popularity video game I'm playing.
Yeah. A lot of it is just fakeness, right? Like, what work means, force times distance. That's what work means.
Yeah.
That's the equation for work. And neither of those things are happening.
We're all staying in the same place.
Yeah. That's how we quantify work. Force times distance. And then we go, I'm not putting any force in unless you equate keyboard tapping to force and mouse movement to force. And then distance is what? How many words I wrote that are erroneous and stupid. And so a lot of it is that, right? I think I, so why I say all this is the thing I love the most about it is that there are some people who are born to rise in that culture, and those people are sociopaths.
Cream boys.
And they love the equation where they're in mid-level management and they are harassing, intimidating, and or stealing the ideas of people that are adjacent to them. And they're trying to be alpha dogs. And it just pulled the rug out from under these fucking ass clowns. And now the only thing they can do is have to be responsible for the work that they're supposed to do. Sure, they can like annoy you and drive you crazy over Slack or wherever the fuck, but it's way harder now for them to pilfer ideas and to steal things and to use the time in a nefarious way to just trap people into nonsensical shit and then watch them run through the rat race. So I love to just not enable them to have that power. The other thing is they were born to in person ruin people's day, and they can't do that now.
Like Colin Robinson from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
Psychic vampires.
Yes. Energy vampires that just fucking drain your energy. And that's every Chad I've worked with. It's like, dude, go fuck off. You have no life. The other thing I will say is they cannot stand if you have a passion outside of the office or if you have a life and friends outside the office. It makes them crazy because they are on a one-track mind of I'm an alpha dog in the office place, and this is my life. This is my arena. They don't have interests.
It's almost insulting to them if you have a passion,
yep,
because you're saying that what is happening in this space is not valuable.
Yeah, and it's not the only thing.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing to them.
This is, you brought this up off mic, and I think it's very important, though. A piece of advice for anyone who has friends that is a comedian, when you introduce, when I'm at work, when I was working in schools or real estate or anywhere or at museums, I would hate it when my coworkers would introduce me to other coworkers or to other people as a comedian. Never. Like, I always want that to be secret.
Yes.
Or if I tell you, I tell you in confidence, and it's not public.
It is not public.
Because of, for two folds. One is the passion thing you're talking about.
Yes.
Because now there's something for bosses to resent me about.
100%.
And then the second one is the Punisher thing that you brought up earlier. I get that, man. I never want to talk to anybody about comedy at work. I don't want to hear their ideas.
And that's what they want to give you, though, Gabe.
They can't wait.
Every day. Gabe, I was just... Now, credit me if you use this in your skits, Gabe, but I got this idea. It's like, are you working hard or are you hardly working?
Dad jokes.
Fucking moron.
Dad joke. Love it. Yo, but my students, because my name is the same across all platforms, and I love that, being transparent.
Sure.
But, you know, you just have to lean into that when they find out that you also, that I'm, because I'm teaching kids civics, and then they're, like, in the chat on Zoom being like, yo, do you have a podcast? And I got to write back, like, who doesn't?
Right, exactly.
You know, I can't be like explicitly like, yeah, hello, cartels. Listen to the last episode where I said voting is totally worthless and violence is a completely valid tool.
Yeah,
to use to affect social change.
And if other people, I mean, we could rehash the whole thing, but and that's what I love what you just said. Though it's you can acknowledge it in that context. But they're going to find you. And that transparency is key, right? I personally don't disguise my name or use a stage name, but it's not my plan. See, if I was doing something like teaching, I would have a lot more enthusiasm to continue doing that because it has some meaning.
Right.
But some of the things I do, not all of them, some of them have had amazing meaning and done something kind of positive in the world where there could just be void of humanity advertising. I like to think that I injected a little humanity in there and steered it in the right direction. But I will say, the shit is crazy, and I don't like mixing the two. And people always ask me why, too. And they're like, how come you don't tell people you're a comic here? It makes you such a stronger person. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Because what happens is exactly what you said earlier. What really happens is people get jealous very quickly, or you're not available to break your back after hours and on weekends to do some shit that's erroneous and stupid that gives the other person meaning. Like, they are dying for the opportunity to work after hours because they have no life.
And hold on. This is something that's very important. The idea of giving extra time to your boss is, in fact, you being an kind of a punishment pig.
Yeah.
Like, you are, it is a form of masochism.
Yes, it
to
is.
Go above and beyond.
Yep.
To spend an extra minute at work. And not only that, you are consenting to be exploited. And you are raising the bar, rather lowering the bar, of the quality of everyone else's work experience.
100%.
And every other employee has the right to, like, if you were in the military, you would be the lieutenant that gets fragged. Like, you should be, all of the other people in your office should hold you down in a bunk bed and take soap in socks and beat you until your internal organs start bleeding.
Code red, though.
Code red. So... we are against grind culture here at Halal Cartels.
100%.
We're against going above and beyond and giving one moment of extra labor to your job because your job doesn't love you.
And why else, though? Because when you work your job, you're renting out your time, right? And so everything is work. And sex work is work, right? You sex workers go, you know what? Why don't you come through and just beat this pussy up for one more extra hour and don't pay? That's not how it works. It's like, if you're trying to hit this shit or you're trying to whatever, see pics of my feet, then you're going to fucking pay. And in every respect, like, every job should be the same thing, right? So
boundaries,
on the spectrum,
healthy boundaries.
Hell yeah. It's like, look, I'm not doing this for free. It's a job. It's not my passion. My passion is comedy. My life, my dreams, my aspirations are comedy.
Yeah.
This is me using my expertise and my brain to do a certain thing, and we had an agreement, and that agreement is I rent my time out to you from 9 to 6, and then you don't get to fucking live in my head rent-free or get to squeeze a few hours out here and there. And, you know, it is what it is. Like you said, you're doing everyone a disservice by doing that. But then you have to look at the landscape, right? The power dynamic, it basically forces people to engage in this kind of fuckery. And the more people that do, the more likely someone is to give up their time. And to give, because they want to keep up with the Joneses. They don't want to be seen as not a team player, yada, yada. But you know what I believe in? I believe in, if we had an agreement, then you want to break that agreement, I'm going to make you say it explicitly. You're not meeting expectations because I want you to break our agreement. Well, you just said it. That wasn't the agreement.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
And this is the problem where people don't identify with their true class, which is their colleagues, and they're identifying with the boss, right? And that is like that is us renting our time almost. That is a prostitute, a sex worker identifying with her pimp, because that is what the boss is.
Right.
And our brains have been, I think this is like, and this is not me shitting on millennials at all.
Yeah, nor are we shitting on sex workers because a lot of them don't have pimps.
Yo, exactly.
But be the pimpless sex worker.
But I think like a trick that these employment has pulled on us since like the early aughts, and that's why I said millennial, it feels like it, the bosses during those 2000s, when millennials were entering the workforce, really focused on this idea of like, what's your passion, and aligning our rhetoric when we speak with like, my job is my passion, or like, I'm doing something I love. And to mix emotions with labor is entirely bullshit, because it is imbuing the thing that we do to make money with almost like a religious or missionary zeal. And it is the first step to being exploited.
Yeah.
Because as long as you are, once they wed passion with money, they can keep pulling on the passion part.
Yeah, yes.
While lowering the amount of money you're making. and saying, well, I thought you loved this, so why aren't you working 28 hours a day?
Do you have any idea what you just described? Vice Media, another place that I worked. Vision, and they can eat shit. Yeah. Every time I hear about that company or see something that they've done, and I mean, they can suck a dick because I honestly want someone to fucking tell them that I'm saying this because they can't come after us about anything because I'm not giving away company secrets. But I will say that formula you just came up with, it blew my mind as you were saying it, because what came up in my mind was Vice right away, and that's what they did. So they're guilty of that to so many degrees, and I know so many people who were at the top there that were just being exploited. I mean, their title was something astonishing, and they were getting paid dog shit money, barely getting by in this economy. Yeah. So their title had nothing to do with their compensation. That place is a cult, but they did that. They specifically did a few things. Another thing to add to that equation is this. They never want to give you recognition for going above and beyond either. So psychologically, you become Stockholm syndromed, where you get caught up in this race of trying to wow them. So you go deeper and deeper into your personal connections. You burn your personal connections in order to help them. Yeah. I remember one time when I hit up both Eric Andre and Kyle Kinane back in the day for a thing for Noisy when I worked at Vice. And both of them were like, fuck that place, man. Are you out of your fucking mind? And I will say that Eric went back on that because he's done stuff with them since then. But Eric wrote a scathing email with like higher ups on copy.
Yeah.
That I had copied, you know. And he was like, you guys published the most like bullshit things. Like, you had somebody who founded the company who was a fucking racist. Da da da. This is like 2011 or something like that. Think of that. And then Kyle Kinane was like, my man, like, I don't know how comfortable I feel with this.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because these companies are, again, imbued with this, because we've aligned ourselves with this idea of working for a passion or like for a company who we're like, we care about the brand. Like, the brand is important. And people would apply to work at Vice and get turned down and fucking cry.
Yeah, they'd cry about it.
And it's like, dude, your heart is broken because this fucking janky ass magazine that is co-opting youth culture to like sell you bullshit war propaganda and sneakers didn't want you.
Yeah. And the sad thing is they had no idea how they were dodged a bullet. And more so, anyone currently who thinks that place is cool, like, sickens me. I'm like, that says everything about you. You haven't gotten the fucking memos. Place is garbage. It's propped up on a house of cards. They're ridiculous. Everything is a Ponzi scheme behind the scenes. I mean, like, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
But I will say this. This conversation started for one also specific reason, and that is Elon Musk announced that. Well, basically, Elon Musk supposedly
our Lord
emailed,
and Savior, the guy that's going to take us to Mars and build a one-lane underground monorail.
The climate change king who's going to keep us from, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, let's have a carbon tax. The guy is an agent of chaos, and I do kind of love it in a weird way, right? Like, nobody loves Lex Luthor, but sometimes, you know, you can gravitate towards the madness that he's trying to inspire and the fucked up things he's trying to do, right? So it's like, Musk is sort of like our Lex Luthor in the making, where his whole thing is to be an agent of chaos, to do fucked up psychotic things because he can. When you get the kind of money that he has, even on paper, you have nothing left, right? So it goes back to our whole thing about why do the rich fuck kids? You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to pontificate on that and trying to understand it as much as I am saying they're disgusting, they're fucked, their brains have gone to whatever you want to equate the devil to. And at this point, they couldn't even spend the money they have because there's nothing that expensive. So they're like, I need to do something more fucked up than drink up everyone's milkshake and steal everyone's money. Now I just need to fuck kids or something. Like, I don't know what to do, right? And so I feel like he's on that trajectory of, like, how can I just inspire chaos and constantly stay in the public image and use it to affect dramatic swings in the stock market. And the one thing is, he apparently wrote an email to everyone that Bloomberg got a hold of, and it was like, from now on, everyone's going to the office. I don't give a fuck. And if you don't like it, you can go pretend to work somewhere else.
Wow. Yeah, 40 hours a week, you got to be in the office in the middle of a pandemic.
That's what he said, right? He said,
sick.
You can, the best, literally the best thing about it, thank you for saying that,
yeah,
is, I don't know if you saw this Onion article from years ago, but it was like, benevolent CEO pledges that people are allowed to work from home after like 8 p.m. or whatever. And he basically was like, you're allowed to work from home after 40 hours.
Yeah, it's great. Well, I mean, what do you expect from somebody that descends from a family of emerald miners in South Africa?
Yeah. Never. So I told you I didn't like British people. I'm going to tell you this, too. I never meet a white South African that I like. And sure.
Why would you?
I'm sure there are decent ones, but I have not really had good experiences with them. They are fucking recent post-colonial psychopaths. And it's weird. It's like meeting a British person from India in 1951 or something.
Right.
You're like, you still are a piece of shit. You have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just kind of got taken from you. Like, you're not fucking, it wasn't like you were like, you know what? Yes, sorry. You can have all your stuff back. You still have this mangled mentality and shit. But yeah, so he's a piece of shit. But I thought it was humorous, right? Because so many cheeseball bros admire him and love him. The other thing I was going to say is these CEOs admire Elon's ability to stay in the limelight and be a Teflon Don in not getting taken down by the SEC, never getting smacked around enough but for the things he does. And they love it. They're horny for it. And so he's setting the stage for them. And my friend was talking to me about this. I told him today, I have a feeling Elon's low-key investing in corporate real estate behind the scenes, and he's trying to affect swings in the market where people are like, you know what, Elon says it's time to go back to work. It's like, dude, the only thing people should trust Elon about is where he got his goddamn hair plugs from.
Yeah, those are crispy.
Crispy, dude. Yeah. Him and Bezos, literally balding tools that look like a fucking vampires. And then, you know, like, Bezos just went the jacked route. He could never get the plugs right.
Sure.
One thing, though, like, you could be as rich as you fucking want to be, but you can never get that hair back.
Can't get that hair back.
But Elon did, somehow.
Sure. Grafted it.
Or he got, like, stem cells.
Maybe it's like kangaroo hair.
Yeah, some shit.
Skin graft. Mm, love it. But, you know, I think at the exact same time in the New York Times today or yesterday, there was another headline shaming Russian oligarchs or talking about how Russia's got oligarchs. Yeah. And like, we got oligarchs.
Yeah, it's
man.
Like, shut up, you bitches. You're owned by oligarchs.
I'm like,
the shittiest newspaper of all time.
How about Gabe Young, whataboutist over here, lets you all know we got oligarchs too, so I don't care.
I hate that fucking newspaper, and I love how they go to bat for the Azov battalion. It's like, dude, stop it.
Yeah.
They go like, what? We may have gotten wrong about the Azov battalion is that they're sweet, kind-natured boys that maybe lost their way with that iconography that tattooed on their throats.
Uh-huh, white Nazi ISIS.
Yeah, white Nazi ISIS. They loved to, in 2013, talk about them being a danger and a threat to the world.
Sure.
Their views. And now it's like, maybe they're not so bad.
Well, my money, I mean, I already know where this is going, dude. We can predict it in 10 years. There's going to be either victims of the Azov Battalion or former soldiers from the Azov Battalion that we're abandoning because we're not really helping them.
We're not committed.
We're just giving them weapons.
Yeah.
So in 10 years, there's going to be massive blowback somewhere around the world. Just like those Chechenian dudes that blew up the Boston Marathon, we're going to have another thing like that, and it's going to be Azov boys.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, not to go off topic, but real quick, that they're forcing Chechenians to go fight in Ukraine. They're like, dude, hey, remember when we fucking bombed you in outer space and like put you all in mass graves? You better go to Ukraine and fight for us because we're gonna do it again.
This is what happens, like, you know, conquered groups when they are assimilated into the empire. You know, and the United States did that too. Forces that were invading Mexico, yep. Some of them were made up of, conquered Native American tribes. Mm-hmm. Also, Buffalo Soldier.
Yeah, former slaves.
Yeah, so, you know, the Russians are going to send in Syrian mercenaries and Chechnyans who have zero empathy or connection to the Ukraine and are already riddled with PTSD. From wars that they survived.
Yeah.
So when they go in there and fight street by street, house by house in Ukraine, it's not gonna be pretty.
Yeah. And that's happening at the moment. But the New York Times loves to Yeah.
So I mean all we're doing is like throwing more gasoline on the fire.
Yeah.
And whereas we should be able to find a peaceful resolution for all this stuff.
We should find food for the food insecure people in this country.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, like all these, so I was teaching my kids today about the DALPA, the pipeline.
Yeah.
And Dakota Access. And, you know, we watched this uplifting video about in 2016, all the tribes coming together to put a stop to the pipeline. And they're like, what? How did it resolve? How did it resolve? And I was like, hey, guys, look it up. And like all the kids in the chat are like, damn, because, you know, it's all back. And they're like, oh, man, nothing was really resolved.
After everything, Tim.
Yeah, after everything. And I was like, well, I mean, I didn't have time to bring it up. But I'm like, well, there's a chain reaction of events with the United States forcing Zelensky into a position that then egged on Putin to invade. And then that invasion means that there's an embargo on Russian oil. And now, so that means that Biden is aggressively opening up all of the pipelines domestically to produce. So if you got a fucking Save Ukraine flag, or if you've been listening to any bullshit about that, realize that we're the reason that Ukraine acted the way it did to get invaded to, and then the blowback from that is environmental devastation here in North America as we continue to plunder our oil resources.
Yeah, and a middle class that's already stressed to the max, who is unable to get from point A to point B because we live in a society that doesn't have public transportation that's reliable. I mean, everything is cataclysmic, right?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, actually, like the context of you talking about that to the kids, but also the fact that you teach critical race theory. You're like enemy number one.
I am the problem.
And we're always talking about the authorities on this podcast. I know we're both surveilled by them. I'm just like, is Steve and Jim, who's following us around, sitting in a van right now outside being like, man, why are you guys always fucking shitting on us? It's like, you do this stuff.
I teach. I'm the guy that's teaching whatever they think critical race theory is. And my students are from all over the, you know, their parents are from all over the world. They're all American citizens, but they're from all over the world. And like one, we were talking about the Chinese Exclusion Act today. And like smoke was like coming out of their ears on the Zoom. Right.
they're like, what?
Because half of them are wearing masks because they're in the same classes. But their eyes got huge. And they're just like, what? The Chinese Exclusion Act? Like they'd never heard this. About it, right?
Yeah.
And then there's so many kids in the class that are like typing in the chat, like, I'm Asian, or like, I'm Chinese. And I was like, hey, man, you all know about Wan Kim Ark? And that was a Chinese, American born Chinese guy who went back and forth a couple times to China. And then one time coming back, this guy, John Wise, who was in charge of immigration at the time, tried to like do basically 19th century build a wall bullshit on him and was like, we're going to keep you out. You're not a citizen, even though you were born here.
So yeah, it was like, you went to your China, so you're not allowed to come back.
So his case went to the Supreme Court, Wan Kim Ark's case, and that's the reason, when he won, that's the reason that it solidified the precedent that if you were born here, you're an American citizen. So I'm like, all these kids, I'm like, man, if your parent, and half of them, their parents aren't from here.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, but I'm an American.
See, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they need to double down and fight that as the world becomes more one blood, one nation-esque, you know? I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. And to know, but just to know, like, the contribution that this Chinese-American person made to, like, every single person in this country whose parents are from somewhere else.
Right.
Were born here.
Right.
And that's just one example.
I love it.
Of the critical race theory that they're getting from me.
Yeah, your students are going to grow up to be cool. Everyone else's are going to grow up to be fucking Hagar slack boys with like ponytails that are water cooler annoyances.
Yeah.
Like, fuck those people.
Waiting to get back into the conference room to pilfer ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it in real time. And I have called out a white man in the advertising world who stole two of my friends' ideas that were sitting next to me in this conference room.
Yeah.
And tried to present them as his own. And when he was done and people were like, whoa, I go, oh, you mean so-and-so and so-and-so's ideas? We went over these yesterday. You were there. It's crazy. The whole room went silent, dude. I never felt so good. He was on his hind legs, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck all these people.
I don't know. I'm happy to be teaching on Zoom, and I don't want to go back in. Like, you don't want to go back to the office. I don't want to go back into the schools until, because we've never figured out the one thing to make schools really safe. Which, of course, is giving every teacher a gun. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I, like, look back at the history of teachers that I've had, and I'm like, I don't know if you want to give a few of them a gun.
No. Because
they themselves would take out the students, some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Rage.
I went to a high school where they would hit kids, and they got away with it because their parents signed a waiver.
Oh, no. Well, man, I don't know. You know, it's tough with the gun control because I like guns. I don't have one. I'm not saying, like, damn, I'm fetishized them and I think that we should all have them. But, dude, we don't have to take every single person's gun away in this country.
Not at all. And they are fun.
Yeah.
But not when they're used to kill innocent people.
Yeah, dude, there's a bunch of Elmer Fudd dudes out there with, like, just killing deer. Duck hunting, you can keep doing that. Those aren't the people who are going and shooting up schools. The people doing that is a very thin sliced, subset. This is, I'm looking for a marketing
term. subset. I'm like, this is subgenre, subculture, but I'd say subset. Yeah.
Very, you know, I mean, dude, all you have to do is like bag and tag every 18-year-old. Male, who's white or lightish.
That's funny. People listening
white
at
Latinos,
home.
White Latinos can get tagged as well.
Yeah.
And you just have to wear the tag, the tracer from 18 to like 22.
Yeah.
And then if you haven't gone homicidal by 22, you get the tag off and you get to walk around free again.
Right.
Free range.
I mean, then there's like Timothy McVeigh boys, and maybe they got to expand it from 18 to 40 or something like that. But hey, guess what? Anyone listening at home that thinks that's a crazy idea, how about this? Before cell phones, they used to tag my home phone, and they listened to it actively every conversation, which is fucking insane because they did it in real time for over a year.
And how did you find out about this? Because this is legit.
This is legit. They sent us a court order that said, because this was pre-Patriot Act, they had to tell us. They said as part of an ongoing investigation, which they didn't explain what that was, they were tapping our home phones and they didn't find shit. But they were listening for over a year. And they listened to every fucking conversation. And it was more than one person because they needed a translator to understand what the fuck people were saying even. So for them to do that to millions of Muslim people across the country, you got to understand their resources at the time were probably stretched, and they found fucking nothing, and they started entrapping people to justify the expense and the budget that they were spending on surveilling an entire population of people. And so now with technology capturing everything everyone says and transcribing it in real time, flagging words that people are using and then positioning that to the authorities, they can easily do this and they can catch this.
Yeah. So like we've already seen the over-policing of a subset of Americans by the FBI. And that was the entire Muslim community in the United States.
Which is pretty massive.
Which is huge. And so they've already done that. And you are an example of them surveilling a teenager.
Sure.
With wiretaps on your phone. they already over-police young black men. You have like cities like Baltimore where the same person, or even New York, where the same black youth will be stopped and frisked like 20 times in a year. I'm making up that number, but it's not everyone that's being surveilled. It is the same small subset of people that are being filtered over and over and over again and caught in the same net. And you have this happening with traffic stops as well. So yeah, all the resources exist. And so when I say this, it is not a fascist thing that I'm saying, that's like a brand new George Orwell 1984 thing. It's like, take all the resources that you're using
right
to police
now, yeah, in the wrong place, yeah, and direct them to the right place then.
Oh, white identity extremists. Yeah. It's super easy. Then, like, you know, then everybody gets to keep their guns. You just cannot sell them to these people, and there's like drones outside their windows watching them.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah. And if you have to, just kill them and somehow justify it the way you do everyone else. You fucking,
I mean,
assholes.
There's always this idea too that like it was always a quiet guy. It was the guy that didn't talk. And it's like, dude, as a teacher, great. Just there should be an aptitude test every year where you have a public speaking portion and you have all of the white men stand up in class when they're 17 and have them give a 5-minute monologue. And if they can't do it because they're the quiet type, that's the one.
Yeah. You're like, you're on a list now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you brought something up earlier, right? Joe Biden this week said, Americans, make your voice heard so that someone in the government could do something about this, which disgusts me because he's literally like, just so you know, I'm not going to do shit about this and I'm going to put this on you. And he's the fucking top dog. But what was your idea, Gabe, of how to get them to pay attention, Congress and them?
Oh, I love this. So I've been hearing as well that we should not show images of the crime scenes, of the victims, of the aftermath of the shootings. And I'm ambivalent, but I disagree. It's like images of the wars, particularly Vietnam, coming back into people's living rooms, really changed public opinion about Vietnam. And after Vietnam, war journalists have been heavily censored and policed by the U.S. military, at least. So, you know, we don't see any images coming out of the Ukraine. We didn't see images coming out of the Iraq wars because it was all embedded journalists who were working with the military. I think that, yeah, man, we should not. I think it would be terrible for my soul to see the images of these victims. But if we don't show them publicly, there should be a mandatory day-long professional development where every senator and congressperson, every legislator has to sit in a room watching the Twitch streams and looking at the images with, like, eyeball speculums from Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
You know, and we can get help. The interns come in, and they keep putting drops in to keep the eyes moist.
Keep their eyes moist.
Yeah, and if they try to avert their gaze, someone just comes in and reorientates their heads so that everyone is forced to watch the aftermath of the slaughter.
And another great idea is just make a list of all the gun lobbyists and then have an insane, like, weird fucking gun nut show up to their kids' baseball games and smile at them with Joe Pesci, like, the little thing he did in Home Alone where his dude sparkled.
Yeah.
And just smile at them and just, like, nod at them and be like, hey.
Just Oakley wraparound glasses. Yeah. Just a nice sovereign citizen patriot.
Yeah. Just at the kids' baseball game, their kids' baseball game, to be like, hey, I could open fire at any moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it, but I could. I've got the right.
You have the right, dude.
To posture like I will.
Yeah.
Woo! All right. Well.
That was great, man.
We did it.
We did it,
friends.
Baby. Another episode of Halal Cartels in the Book.
Rate, review, and subscribe. You know who it is. It's Gabe Pacheco. You can find me on Instagram at GABEPAC and the number one.
And you can find me on Instagram, Samir Nassim. The Instagram is at Samirmon, SAMEERMON.
Yeah, and we will see you next week with a crispy new episode. And now for the serene sounds of Serene Patel, a.k.a.
Brown Privilege.